低头来到主的面前。我们在天上的父，谢谢您赐给我们这样的时间啊，学习您的话语，赐给我们宝贵的圣经啊，更谢谢您借着救恩啊，赐给我们圣灵，让我们能够有一个从主来的教师啊，带领我们进入一切的真理啊。我们的祷告是今晚求您带领我们明白这话语，明白我们关乎圣灵的真理啊，也让我们在我们的生命中能把这些真理应用出来。求您使我们有柔和谦卑的心领受这些话语，给我们灵里的眼，灵里的耳，能听见看见啊，谦卑的领受。祷告奉主耶稣基督的圣名， Amen。 Yep. Brother Eric.
Thank you, Brother Lo. Well, greetings to each one. Warm Christian greetings from Vancouver.
我们向每一个人问候啊，很温暖的主里的问候来自我们这边的温哥华啊。
We have been studying the person and work of the Holy Spirit.
我们一直在学习圣灵的位格和圣灵的工作。
And some of the study may be very deep for and maybe it's the first time you've heard some of these things.
有一些的教导呢，可能有一些深，甚至呢，你们是第一次听到这样的一个说法。
It may be that some don't understand everything that we have brought before you.
那有些呢，可能不是能够立刻能够明白领受我们带给大家的。
But the way that we learn from the scriptures is we don't learn all at once.
那我们学习圣经的方式呢，并不是一次把所有都弄明白。
We learn little by little, line upon line, and precept upon precept, here a little and there a little.
我们是一点一点学习的，一行一行，一段一段，这里一点，那里一点。
And no one knows it all.
没有人呢，所有的全都明白了。
But I want to thank you for being carrying on with these studies. It will be a good journey for us all.
我谢谢大家能够坚持的来这个学习，这对我们来说会是一段非常好的旅程。
In the next few weeks, we would like to speak on the gifts of the Holy Spirit.
那未来的几周呢，我们开始进入圣灵的恩赐。
And tonight, we would like to look at the sphere, of the Holy Spirit, the sphere of His operations, which is in the local church.
那今天呢，我们会来看呢，这样的一个领域，就是圣灵在地方教会的工作。
Now the Bible is not like a textbook.
圣经呢，不像一本教科书。
You don't get the doctrines laid out in order that we often see in universities or in campuses.
它不像我们在学院或者大学里看见的所谓的，比方说一些教义啊，是以一个顺序的方式记载下来的这么一个写作方式，圣经不是这样的。
Instead, the Word of God is it's a living word.
因为神的话呢，是一个活着的话语。
And as a living word, the Word of God is given out in different times and in different places.
正是因为它是活的，所以它是在不同的地方、不同的时间分别给出来的。
It's what we call progressive revelation.
我们有一个词呢，来概括这样的一个概念，叫做渐进式的启示。
We find concepts that are introduced, and then developed, illustrated.And the end of at the book of Revelation, where it all ties back together.
那我们会看见一个概念先被介绍，然后呢被发，然后发展，然后详细的解释，最后在启示录里呢它结尾。
So we want to, first of all, tonight we'd like to look at the Holy Spirit, the sphere, where he operates, which is in the local church.
那我们今晚呢就看一下圣灵他是在哪开始工作的，他我们会先从教会开始看。
Now the gifts are, all the gifts and their instructions for their use is given to three local churches.
嗯，所以他的圣灵的恩赐啊，他是先给到三个教会。
We find a list of gifts and their instructions for their use in the book of Corinthians.
那我们会在哥林多书呢看见圣灵的恩赐的使用。
We find another list in the book of Romans.
在罗马书呢也看见另外一张关于圣灵使用圣灵恩赐的单子。
And completing it is a list we find in the book of Ephesians.
然后完全写下来呢就是在以弗所书，我们又会看见一个详细的记载。
There are differences in the list, and we will look at those differences when we come to the study of those gifts.
所以我们会认真查考这几段的经文，当我们学习这些圣灵真理的，圣灵恩赐的这个真理的时候。
But to understand the gifts, we have to understand where the Holy Spirit works in the local church.
要明白这些真理呢，我们先要明白圣灵是怎么在地方教会在哪里工作的。
Now, the Holy Spirit works in the individual, but the gifts are given not for the individual, but for the local church.
所以圣灵呢是在个人里面工作，但是给到个人的恩赐呢却不是为了个人，是为了地方教会而造福的。
So what is the church?
那教会是什么？我们先要把这事搞清楚。
A definition of the church. The word in the Greek is ecclesia.
那教会的定义呢？希腊词的原文叫 ecclesia 啊，这个词。
And now, I know in English and maybe in Chinese as well that there's a lot of misunderstanding about what the church is.
我知道英文世界也许中文也是这样，就大家对教会呢有很多的误解。
In the Greek, the word ecclesia simply means an assembly of people who are called out.
所以 ecclesia 这个希腊词呢，只是意思就是一群人被呼召出来。
That's why among us, we often use the word assembly rather than church because of that misunderstanding.
所以在我们这里呢，他会用英文的一个词叫 assembly, 其实就是聚会的意思，而不是常用教会，因为怕引起一些不同的歧义。
So in the scriptures, the word ecclesia just simply means a called out people from the world called to the Lord. That's what God defines the word church.
所以按照原文的意思呢，教会就是一群人从世界被呼召出来，分别为圣归给神，就这么一群人就叫教会。
If we forget about all the traditions and so on else about the church, and simply substitute the word assembly, that is probably a very accurate way to define it.
所以如果我们用 assembly 这个词就是聚会啊，一群人聚集从世界出来，那这个可能会更加准确的定义教会。
Now, Long, is there that difficulty in Chinese with you know, in English, the word church is, you have the Church of England, you have the, you know, and so on. Is that a problem in Chinese, or is it made?
No, we have pretty much the same problem, the misunderstanding of church
Right.
In terms of denomination, in terms of the building, and a lot of other understandings.
Yeah. The church, the church is not the building. The Greek makes that very clear.
所以这个希腊文讲得很清楚，不是讲一幢房子就教会。
It means an assembly of people that have been called together for a specific reason.
那是就是在讲一群人的，因一个特别的原因被召出来。
And so that, so the church then is the church of Christ is those individuals who have been called out from the world to the person of Christ the Savior.
对，教会就是一群人呢，他们招出来归耶稣基督的，他们招出来是有目的要归耶稣基督的，这么一群人聚集起来就是教会。
That will be made clear as we continue our study.
对，这样的一个概念很重要，会使我们后面的学习呢就有个基础。
But there's one other very important distinction that we have to make right now.
那还有一个很重要的区别呢，我们现在也要先提出来。
The church, there's two aspects of the church.
有两个概念的教会。
There's what we call the universal church and what we call the local church.
也就是我们通常所说的普世教会和地方教会。
Now the universal church, it consists of all truly born again believers from every time and place. From the day of Pentecost right to the rapture of the church at Christ's second coming.
普世教会只有一个定义，就是呢，所有的，是任何时间、地点里，重生得救的基督徒聚集，它组合在一起就是普世教会。这个时间呢，是从五旬节开始，一直到教会被提，所有的历史时代，所有重生得救的人在一起就叫普世教会。
That is, when believers die, that doesn't mean to say that they've left the church.
所以一个信徒死了的，在地上死了的时候呢，不等于他离开了教会。
They are with Christ and still members of that universal church.
他只是换了一个地方，他跟主在一起了，他还是这个普世教会中的一员，因为人的灵不变。
And the universal church includes all those that are living today, that are born again, and all those who will yet be born if the Lord doesn't come.
所以普世教会呢，包括我们今天还活着的所有重生得救的基督徒，也包括未来要来还没有来的那些基督徒，已经过去已经死了的那些基督徒。It
consists of all those who are in Christ, past, present, and future.
所以它包括所有在主里的过去、现在、未来的圣徒们。
So the universal church is a very large company of believers.
所以这是一个极大的一群呢，信徒。
Now turn to Ephesians and chapter 1.
我们来看以弗所书一章。
Ephesians is written to a local church.
以弗所书是写给一个地方教会的。
But they're also part of the universal church.
那这个地方教会呢，也是属普世教会的一部分。
And before Paul goes very far, he first talks about the universal church.
当保罗呢，还没有往下走的时候呢，他先讲到一个普世教会。
And in Ephesians chapter 1 verses 3 and 4.
以弗所书一章三节和四节。
Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love.
愿颂赞归于我们主耶稣基督的父神，他在基督里曾赐给我们天上各样属灵的福气，就如神从创立世界以前，在基督里拣选了我们，使我们在他面前成为圣洁，无有瑕疵。
Now, what this verse tells us is that the church was conceived in the mind of God in eternity past.
所以这两节经文我们看见呢，教会，普世教会就已经在主的旨意里，在永恒的过去，主就已经知道这个教会了。
He had in mind,
在他脑子里了已经。
Some special group of persons, even before Adam was created. That there would be a company that he'd take to himself, for himself.
会有一群的孩子，他要为了他也带给他的这么一群孩子。
Now in Romans chapter 16 and verse 25, we read there that this was a mystery that was hidden from previous ages.
我们看一下罗马书的16章的25节，这个是在过去的世代呢，是一个奥秘。
He says in Romans chapter
罗马书最后一章的最靠后的25节。
Romans chapter 16 verse 25. Now to him who is able to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery kept secret since the world began, but now made manifest and by the prophetic scriptures made known to all nations.
唯有神使我们神能照我所传的福音和所讲的耶稣基督，并照永古隐藏不言的奥秘坚固你们的心，这奥秘如今显明出来，而且按着永生神的命，借众先知的书指示万国的民，使他们信服真道。
And so this mystery,
小维啊，
this mystery that was hidden in all the past ages, but is now revealed by his apostles and prophets, which we have now revealed to us in the scriptures themselves.
这个奥秘呢，原来是隐藏的，后来呢，启示给那些使徒和先知，现在借着圣经呢，启示给我们。
Again, turn to Ephesians chapter 3.
我们再看以弗所书的三章。
And verse 4.
四节。
By which, when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ through the gospel.
以弗所书三章四节，你们念了就晓得我深知基督的奥秘，这奥秘在以前的世代没有叫人知道，像如今借着圣灵启示他的圣使徒和先知一样，这奥秘就是外邦人在基督耶稣里借着福音得以同为后嗣，同为一体，同盟应许。
So now we have seen that this universal church is something that has been conceived in the mind of God beforecreation and had not been revealed since creation until the New Testament.
所以我们知道这普世教会呢，在万有以先就在神的计划就形成了，也直到有了 这些人之后啊，有了使徒先之后才启示出来。
Looking back in the Old Testament, though, we can see types and we see shadows, but it had not been revealed until revealed to the apostles.
所以在旧约里呢，即便我们有预表啊，有各种的指向的比喻隐藏的这些真理啊，但是呢，直到使徒们出来，就耶稣基督的使徒们出来之后，这些才全然显明了。
Now the first mention of the church we find in Matthew's Gospel.
首先提到教会这个概念呢，是在马太福音。
Matthew chapter 16 and verse 16.
马太福音十六章十六节。
There is a principle of scripture which is called the principle of first mention.
那有一个圣经的读经原则呢，叫首次提及的原则，首次提到的原则。
So when you interpret scripture, you want to pay especially attention to the first mention of a concept or a word or anything.
如果你有一个概念，一个词，你想要知道它圣经是什么意思，你要注意去看在圣经里第一次提到这个词和概念的地方。
Now, the background to this interview with the Lord Jesus and Peter was, he asked them, who do men say that I am? And they got various answers. But then he asked them, who do you say that I am?
这个对话的背景是耶稣问门徒啊，人说我是谁啊，人们门徒们也给了很多回答，然后耶稣又问他们，那你们觉得我是谁？
They had been with him now for 3 years, and they had witnessed the miracles that he did, the words that he spoke. So he asked them, who do you say that I am?
他们已经跟从主三年了，他们看见神迹，他们也听了耶稣的道，所以耶稣现在呢问他们，那你们认为我是谁？
You see, Israel had rejected him as king at this point.
在这个点上呢，以色列已经拒绝耶稣做王了。
And as a result, the kingdom that he had come as the Messiah to offer to Israel, that kingdom now has been set aside.
所以他在以弥赛亚的身份来建立国度这么一个计划被以色列人拒绝之后呢，这个国度暂时被放到一边了。
Now this didn't take God by surprise.
当然了，这个不是说神就变得很意外了啊，就看见这个局面很意外，不是。
His original plan was that he would build a church from eternity past.
因为他最初的计划呢，他在万有以先他就有一个教会的计划。
Israel was chosen out of the nations after the creation to represent God on earth.
以色列是从万国之中在创造之后啊被选出来来代表神。
And they were taught to expect the Messiah to come.
给他们是要告诉人预期弥赛亚要来。
But when he did come, they rejected the king.
但这个弥赛亚基督来了呢，他们却拒绝了他做王。
And so God has set aside the kingdom as a result.
所以因此呢，神就把这王国的计划呢先放到一边。
And God now brings forward his eternal purposes that he's going to build his own church.
所以神呢就开始执行他永恒的计划，也就是建立他的教会。
Israel had been called out of the nations, but the church are individuals that have been called out of the world, both Jew and Gentile.
所以以色列呢是从万国之中被呼召出来，但是教会呢是从众民之中，无论是犹太人还是外邦人，一个一个的，不是一个民族，是一个一个人的被呼召出来。
So even though the nation had rejected him, he asked Peter, he asked his disciples, who do you say that I am then?
即便呢，以色列作为一个民族呢，他拒绝了耶稣，耶稣还是问他的门徒，那你们说我是谁？
So in verse 16, Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the Living God."
西门彼得十六节回答说，你是基督，是永生神的儿子。
Jesus answered in verse 17 and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven."
十七节，耶稣对他说，西门巴约拿，你是有福的，因为这不是属血肉的指示你的，乃是我在天上的父指示的。
And it's indeed, that's exactly how each one of us have found the Savior.Is that the Holy Spirit sent by the Father has revealed Jesus as the Son of God.
这是我们每一个人认识耶稣的方式，因为耶稣被父神差来啊，是想要把父神显明出来。
But then in verse 18, he goes on to say, "And I also say to you that you are Peter, that is a stone, a small stone."
18节我还要告诉你，你是彼得，那彼得就是小石头的意思。
And on this rock, he said, I will build my church.
我要把我的教会建造在这磐石啊，磐石是个大石头。
He's not saying that he's going to build the church on Peter.
所以他这里不是在说呢，他要把教会建立在彼得身上。
The rock...that he's going to build it on is the revelation that was given to Peter, which is Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's the rock God is going to build his church upon.
所以这里的上下文我们不要误解，他这里在说呢，我要把我的教会建立在这磐石，这磐石是指什么？是指彼得刚刚回答的从父神来的一个启示，就是耶稣是基督，是永生神的儿子，这是那个磐石。
It would be a sad thing if the church was built upon poor, fallible Peter.
如果教会是建立在可怜的、会软弱、犯罪的彼得身上，那就很可悲了。
Instead, the church is built upon that immutable rock of God's Son Himself come down from heaven, manifest to the world.
教会是建立在圣子啊，他从天而来的圣子，不可战胜的主耶稣身上。
So he goes on to say that I will build. It's the Lord Jesus who builds the church.
所以他说我要把我的教会，也就是说是建立教会是谁建立？是耶稣建立的。
And he says, I will build my church.It belongs to him, not to Peter.
所以这里又说呢，我要把我的教会，这说明这个教会是属基督的，而不是属彼得的。
That church would become his own body on the earth.
所以这个教会呢，会是他地上自己的身体，就是耶稣的身体。
And then he goes on to say that the gates of hell or Hades shall not prevail against it.
接着他说呢，阴间的权柄不能胜过他。
The gates of hell is just a figure of speech, meaning all the powers of hell, all the powers of the evil one, of Satan, will not prevail against the church.
所以权柄的原文是门啊，这个门的意思就是所有的权力，阴间的黑暗的权力呢，它没有办法胜过教会。
And down through 2,000 years, more than 2,000 years, we've seen empires rise up against Christians and persecute them to try to stamp out Christianity, and every one of those empires has fallen.
我们过去的2000年看见无数的国度啊，帝国兴起啊，想要迫害基督教会，最终呢都没有成功。
And Christ is still building his church today.
基督依然在建立他的教会，在今天。
So then, the universal church is also called a great mystery.
所以这个普世教会呢，也被称为一个极大的奥秘。
And in Ephesians chapter 5:32, it's mentioned. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church.
5:32节呢，他说这是极大的奥秘啊，但我是指着基督和教会说的。以弗所书5:32节。
So if it's a great mystery,
所以这是一个教会是一个极大的奥秘啊。
There's a number of different metaphors or figures of speech that are needed to describe the church and its relationship to Christ.
所以会有很多的经文用比喻。用详细的解释来讲到我们跟主，也就是教会跟主之间的关系。
The first of which we've already mentioned is that the church universal is pictured as the body of Christ.
比方说呢，我们很熟悉的第一呢，普世教会来，总是会用来形容成基督的身体。
Now the body of Christ, this concept stresses two things.
那基督的身体这个概念呢，强调了两件事。
Number one, the unity of the body itself, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12.
那哥林多前书12:12，那就是讲到教会的合一，这个身体是合一的。
Paul uses the example of the human body. The body is one. Verse 12.
保罗呢用了一个身体啊，人的身体，一个整体啊，来做一个比喻。
For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ.
那林前十二章十二节，就如身子是一个，却有许多肢体，而且肢体虽多，仍是一个身子。基督也是这样。
So even though down through the centuries there have been many, many different kinds of churches, every believer, true born again believer, was part of that one body, the body of Christ.
所以虽然从五旬节到现在。很长一段时间有很多很多不同的教会，但是每一个基督徒重生得救的呢，都是这一个身体中的一部分，一个肢体。
There won't be any denominations in heaven.
所以在天堂是不会有什么宗派的。
We are all part of that one body and we are members one of another.
所以都会是一个教会的一个肢体，我们都是一个互为肢体的关系。
So that's the body of Christ. This idea stresses that unity of the body. Second, it stresses the union of the head with the body.
那所以肢体这个身体这个概念呢，它强调两个点，一个呢就是合一的，它是一个整体；第二呢，它是和头啊。这个关系是连起来的，它会有共有一个头。
That is, every member of the body is connected vitally to the head.
就是每一个肢体的一部分呢，都是很重要的，和身和头连接的。
Ephesians chapter 1,
以弗所书一章
and verse 22 and 23,
22节和23节。
And he, that is God, put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all.
以弗所书一章二十二节，又将万有伏在他的脚下，也就是基督的脚下，使他为教会做万有之首。教会是他的身体，是那充满万有者所充满的。
Now, the church is not under his feet.
所以教会不在他的脚下。
What he's talking about there are principalities and powers, those angelic beings, all angelic, demonic, those above the earth, everything in heaven and earth are under his feet. But the church is not.
那这里讲到的一个重要概念呢, 就是教会不在他脚下, 是万有, 万有就包括一切受造的, 天上的, 地下的, 万国的, 天使的, 一切的, 受造的, 都在他的脚下, 唯独教会不是。
When he says in verse 22, he put all things under his feet, that's referring to those principalities and powers and might and dominion in the previous verse.
所以又将万有就是我们刚才讲的 21节啊, 远超过一切执政的掌权的有能的主治的和一切有名的 不但是今世的连来世的也都超过, 就这些都是。
But he is the head of the church, at which we read in verse 23, is his body.
但他却是教会的头, 所以23节就很重要了, 教会是他的身体, 所以这是一个整体。
So I would conclude from that, that all those principalities and powers, they also are under our feet, because we are the body of Christ.
那所以你从21节读到23节会得出一个结论, 那一切执政掌权的所有的万有呢, 也在教会之下, 因为呢, 教会和神是一体, 和基督是一体。
Now, isn't this a very high calling?
那是不是这样的一个呼召是如此崇高的, 一个呼召呢?
Little old you and me, God has called us out of the world to become part of the body of his son.
你想啊, 我们如此的渺小, 神却使我们, 得着这样的呼召, 从世界里出来, 成为他圣子身体的一部分, 这是多么大的一个呼召。
So the metaphor of the body of Christ, it stresses the unity of the body, we're all members of the same body, and it also stresses the union of the body with the head himself.
所以我们刚才讲到了, 这个身体的这个比喻呢, 讲到两个概念, 一个就是身体是合一的, 因为都是互为肢体, 第二呢, 身体是与, 身体部分是与头, 联系在一起, 联合的, 所以我们是一个整体, 我们跟主,
That's not all that we have in Christ. Just one more thing, just to maybe sidetrack just a little. But being united to him vitally, we are united to him, all, and in him, all the inheritance that he has won by the victory at the cross and given to him by his Father is ours to share.
Which verse you are reading?
Well, I didn't read a verse. Verse 11, if you like, chapter 1, verse 11 of Ephesians.
以弗所书的一章的十一节啊, 所以他就讲到另外一个概念。
In him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will.
就是我们也在他里面得了基业, 就是基督有的基业, 我们也都有了, 因为我们是一个整体, 这原是那位随己意行作万事的, 照着他旨意所预定的。
But there's more of that in the next metaphor that is used often of the church.
那等我们第二个比喻呢, 也会经常会用到关于教会的。
Sometimes the metaphor of the bride, the church is pictured as the bride of Christ.
很多时候呢, 教会还会比喻成主的新娘。
Now, this idea introduces a different idea about our relationship to Christ.
所以这里呢, 又从另外一个角度呢, 来告诉我们跟主的关系是怎样的。
This idea about our relationship. It's a relationship most intimate.
这样的一个概念是指向了我们跟主的关系是最亲近的。
The most intimate relationship on earth is not a brother to a brother, not a mother to a child, but it is the, and it should be, on God's plan, is a husband to his wife.
所以在地上啊，今天有的人与人之间的关系最亲密的呢，既不是兄弟之间，也不是父母和孩子之间，是夫妻之间的关系，这是神的旨意。
And certainly, we seldom see that worked out because of sin that has entered the world.
当然呢，我们很少看见这样的一个关系，真的是显明神最初的旨意，因为神的罪啊，我们地上夫妻的关系常常是不好的。
But I'm sure every one of us at some point has longed for that kind of intimate relationship with our spouse.
但我们每一个人呢，也都很盼望啊，跟自己的配偶呢，是会有这样紧密的关系，这都是我们所期待的。
That which is pictured in the early part of Genesis, they two shall be one flesh.
这也在创世纪的一开始呢，讲到了啊，就是二人要合为一体。
And so, as the bride of Christ, the Lord Jesus says that he loved the church and he gave himself for her.
所以耶稣和教会呢，他是这么讲的，说耶稣爱教会啊，就把自己舍己啊，为教会。
That's in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25.
以弗所书五章的二十五节。
And this is a word to husbands.
这个话呢是给丈夫的。
And how far short we husbands come from what the word of God would have us to do.
我们可以看见我们做丈夫的是多么是做不到，本来主的话给了我们的命令啊，那是差得远的。
Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her.
以弗所书五章二十五节，你们做丈夫的要爱你们的妻子，正如基督爱教会，为教会舍己。
What greater love, the Bible says, than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friends.
所以圣经说呢，一个人呢，一个为自己的朋友舍命啊，这样的爱是何等的大。
Well, the Lord Jesus did more than that.
但耶稣呢，做的比这更多。
He gave himself for her.
他把自己呢，给出来。
Not only did he give up his life, but he suffered for her.
他不但给生命出来啊，他为了教会还受难了。
He suffered under the hand of man, and he suffered under the judgment of his father, of the judgment of God.
他在人的手里受难，他也在审判的神手下受难啊。
He gave everything he had for the church.
他把他一切所有的都给了教会。
How much do you think he loved the church?
那你觉得他爱教会会有多深呢？
There's no limit to that kind of love.
这样的爱是没有极限的。
That's an eternal and infinite love.
这是一个永恒的，也是无限的爱。
And so, Often, in some societies, there is a price that is paid for a bride.
那有的社会呢，他会娶新娘呢是有一个聘礼的。
And the greater the value of that bride is reflected in the greater price that must be paid for her.
所以新娘的价值越高越大呢，她这个聘礼的价值也就越大。
And so, how much does he love the church?
那他爱教会又爱得多深呢?
That he was willing to come out of the glory of heaven and the fellowship with his Father from eternity to come into this world and to offer himself without spot as a sacrifice for her.
他就愿意从父神的爱的关系里从天堂出来来到地上啊，然后把自己当做一个无暇的祭物献上，就为了教会。
And having paid that great price, his value of her must be immense. And so the intimacy that he would want to have with her is beyond our understanding.
所以从这样的一个价格呢，你就会看见，教会的价值啊是没有办法衡量的，因为他把一切耶稣都献上作为聘礼。
It's an intimacy of companionship.
那这里面的爱的关系呢，亲近的关系啊，也是也显明了。
It's an intimacy of oneness.
这是一个合一的亲密的关系。
It's an intimacy of the very depths of all that he has, he will share with her.
这样的一个亲密关系就让我们看见一切他有的他都会跟我们分享。
So they, in Peter chapter 3 verse 7, 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 7.
彼得前书三章七节。
It's a word again to husbands, but it illustrates a truth.
对，这个是给丈夫的啊，也讲了这个真理。
Husbands likewise dwell with them, that is their wives, our wives, with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel.
你们做丈夫的也要按情理和妻子同住，因为她比你软弱，是软弱的器皿。
And certainly the church is the weaker vessel when it compares to the Lord Jesus.
所以同样的教会也是一个软弱的器皿和基督比起来。
Because Christ constantly looks over his church at the individuals and continually draws us to himself, cleansing us, encouraging us, andlifting us up when we fall.
所以教会神基督也是这样的，洁净我们，提升我们，当我们摔倒的时候保护我们，他总是把我们当做一个更软弱的器皿来对待。
But then that last part of the verse, I'd like to just make a comment or two. And as being heirs together of the grace of life,That phrase, heirs together of the grace of life.
它是与你一同承受生命之恩的。
The grace of life, that's what we have inherited from God the Father.
所以生命之恩呢，正是我们有的，从父神那里继承下来的。
It's not only life eternal that will last forever.But it's a life of quality. It's the very life of God that we'll be sharing with the Lord Jesus, our bridegroom.
那不单是一个永恒的生命，更是一个有质量的生命，真实的生命，是从父神的继承下来永恒的。
When a bride leaves her home, her father's home, and goes to her bridegroom's home, she shares a brand new life.
当一个新娘离开她父家去到新郎家的时候呢，她就开始了一段新的生活。
And so heirs together, she is heirs, we, the church, we are heirs of eternal life and a life of quality that the Father had with the Son from all eternity, we'll be sharing in that life.
所以我们是与基督一同做继承人的，承受生命之恩的，这样的生命是从父神来的，所以我们身份是同与基督同做继承的。
And as a bride, there's some other things that come into that are part of the new life that she has.
那作为新娘呢，我们也会有一些其他的事情啊，作为一个新的部分。
There's the family relationship.
那就是家庭的关系。
The bride becomes a part of a brand new family.
新娘呢是一个新的家庭中的一员。
And as we read in Ephesians chapter 1,
读到以弗所书的一章
and verse 4,
四节。
There's a little phrase there I'd like to draw your attention to.
那有一个很小的词呢，我们注意。
He says, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, notice this, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love.
所以一章四节呢，前面讲完以后到后半段说，使我们在他面前成为圣洁，无有瑕疵。
Brought into the family of God, we can enjoy the Father's smiling face because we are holy without blame and his love can flow unhindered to us and ours to him.
所以正是因为我们在基督里啊，所以我们才可以无有瑕疵圣洁的来享受神的微笑，神的祝福可以无阻碍的到我们身上来。
Another thing that as a bride, I know brides, they spend a great deal of time in preparation for their wedding.
你知道呢，新娘要准备很长的时间啊，为自己的婚礼。
I've seen pictures of, in some cultures where the bride will spend hours and hours and with her companions to deck herself out with gold and all kinds of apparel and so on to display her glories to the greatest effect.
所以我看见很多的不同的民族啊，这新娘结婚的时候要和她的伴娘啊要待很长的时间啊，要化妆，要装饰啊，要戴上很多的首饰。来显出来自己的荣耀。
But you and I as the bride, we have no beauty in ourselves. We have no resources.
你我作为新娘呢，其实我们自己是没有什么美貌的。
But our bridegroom takes care of all that.
但是我们的新郎呢，却为我们预备了一切。Eric?
Yeah, maybe
I need to leave.
Okay. Have you been listening, following along, Yanling?
Yes.
Oh, good. Then this next part you shouldn't have trouble with.
I hope so.
So now go to Ephesians chapter 5 again.
我们再回到以弗所书五章。
And it's a verse we looked at earlier.
我们前面查过这句经文啊。
That Christ loved the church and gave himself for her.
就是二十五节，正如基督爱教会，为教会舍己。
Not only the sacrifice that he made for her, but notice what we have in verses 26 and verse 27.
他不仅是为教会舍己啊，我们再继续看26和27，他还为教会做了什么。
He says, he gave himself for her that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word.
要用水借着道把教会洗净，成为圣洁。
This is the means by which the Lord Jesus is preparing us for himself.
主就是通过这个方式来预备我们献给他自己的。
So that, in verse 27, he might present her to himself.
所以到二十七节说，目的就是可以献给自己。
A glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish.
做个荣耀的教会，毫无玷污、皱纹等类的病，乃是圣洁、没有瑕疵的。
Absolute perfection.
是完全的、完美的。
And then, the bride. There's the permanency of the bride. There is no divorce in heaven.
而且呢，这个新娘的这个婚约是永恒的，在天堂是不会离婚的。
Because he sealed his espousal with an eternal covenant.
因为主呢是用那永远的约印上了，就是封住了这个婚事，这个婚盟。
Now, go back to Ephesians chapter 1.
我们再回到以弗所书一章。
Ephesians has much, that reveals the church and its relationship to God.
以弗所书呢，启示了很多关于教会以及教会和神之间的关系。
Ephesians chapter 1 verse 4.
我们看一章四节。
It says here that just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world,Just that phrase.
就如神从创立世界以前在基督里拣选了我们，我们就看这一句话。
So he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. Before there was time, he had made that choice.
所以他是神在基督里拣选了我们，是在还没有时间以前，在世界创立以前，他就拣选了我们。
Now God in his foreknowledge knows who is going to believe and who will not believe.
神在他的预知当中呢，他老早就知道谁会相信，谁不会相信。
That's true. But he does not influence our decision.
当然这个是肯定对的，同时呢，他也不影响我们的决定，他不干预我们的决定。
The illustration of that is when Abraham chose a daughter for his son Isaac.
一个很好的例子呢，就是亚伯拉罕要替他的儿子以撒呢选一个新娘。
He sent an unnamed servant, which is a picture of the Holy Spirit.
他选了一个圣经上没有记载名字的老仆人，这个老仆人呢就是预表圣灵。
He sent him into a far country.
他把他派到一个很遥远的国度里。
And just as the Holy Spirit has come into the world to reveal the Son to whoever.
就像圣灵也是来到这地上向世人启示神的儿子。
Now a woman came down to a well that day when the unnamed servant arrived.
就在这个老仆人，这个不知名的老仆人到达的那一天呢，有一个女孩呢，出来到井边打水。
And the offer there of the unnamed servant to that young woman was received by her. She willingly went with the servant back to be a bride for Isaac.
这个老仆人给这个姑娘的这个礼物呢，她收下了，而且她心甘情愿的愿意跟着老仆人走。
So there we have the sovereignty of God and the responsibility of man in the same story.
所以我们在这个故事里面呢，既看到了神的主权，同时也看到了人的自由意志的选择，是在同时发生的。
Our time is going, we're going to have to get on a little bit further. We've looked at the universal church as the body of Christ, as the bride of Christ. Just one more illustration. We're spoken of as citizens of heaven.
我们在这个普世教会的这一点上呢，我们还要再补充一点，多讲一点的，就是关于这个天堂的这个国民的身份。
In Philippians chapter 3, verse 20.
腓立比书的三章二十节。
Paul writes to the Christians at Philippi and says, For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ.
保罗在给腓立比教会写的这封书信里面呢，在这一节里提到，他说我们却是天上的国民，并且等候救主，就是主耶稣基督从天上降临。
You can see the mystery of the church encompasses all these ideas. The body of Christ, the bride of Christ, now, and also we are citizens of the city of God itself.
所以你看这个普世教会的这个概念呢，包括很多的层面。我们前面讲过，它是用身体来比喻，然后又是用新娘来比喻。现在呢，又提到我们是天上的国民的这个国民身份。
Now, Christ, when he was leaving, told his disciples that he was going to go and prepare a place for them.
主还在地上的时候呢，他跟他的门徒说，他要去为我们预备地方。
John chapter 14.
约翰福音的十四章。
He says in verse 2.
第二节他说
In my father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also.
在我父的家里有许多住处，若是没有，我就早已告诉你们了。我去原是为你们预备地方去。我若去为你们预备的地方，就必再来接你们到我那里去。我在哪里，叫你们也在那里。
So in the Father's house is sometimes spoken of as a city of God.
所以这个天父的家呢，有的时候也说就是神的城，也把它说成神的城。
And in that house, the household of God, all distinctions on the earth have been set aside.
在天父的家里面呢，这个地上的一切呢都被放到一边了，就不能与之相比。
And we are all citizens of equal rank in that city.
我们都是那个国家的国民，都是平等的。
Now, to be a citizen of a city speaks of communion, it speaks of fellowship, it speaks of being able to speak to one another.
天上的国民这个概念呢，包括的含义就是我们是彼此可以交通，我们是有团契，我们是彼此相连的。
So the universal church is all those things.
所以这个普世教会的含义呢，就包括所有的这些层面。
It may seem a little strange, but I think when we get there, we'll say,The half has not been told us.
可能那个这些关于天上的概念呢，会和普世教会的概念对我们来说呢，听起来有点奇怪。但是等到我们到天上的时候呢，我们就发现，其实天上的一半，我们其实都不知道。
So the
关于天上的好处的一半，我们都不知道。
Now we want to look at the time remaining at the local church.
我们剩下的时间呢，我们来看这地方教会。
We've looked at the church universal, but now the local church.
我们刚才学了这个普世教会，现在我们来看地方教会。
Again, turn to Matthew chapter 16.
我们翻到
Matthew 18, sorry.
马太福音十八章。
Matthew 18.And verse 20.
20节。
For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them.
因为无论在哪里有两三个人奉我的名聚会，那里就有我在他们中间。
The local church is a representative of the universal church, but it's a group, it's a visible church of believers, true believers, gathered in the name of the Lord Jesus.
地方教会呢是普世教会的一个代表，它是一个有形的教会，它是一群重生得救的真的基督徒聚在一起这样一个团体。
And there might be as few as two or three.
可能人数呢少到就只有两三个人。
But if they're gathered together in his name, that is under his authority.
但是只要他们是奉主的名聚会呢，就是在主的权柄之下。
And they faithfully follow his authority.
而且他们忠心地跟随主的带领，主的权柄。
They might be considered a little assembly.
只要是这样符合这些条件的，他们就可以被认作一个地方教会。
Because they've been called out of the world and they have been called to the person of Christ.
因为他们是从这世界被呼召出来归给主耶稣基督的。
Again, we saw that the church isn't a building, but it's the people. Now turn to Romans chapter 16.
我们刚才讲了教会不是个建筑而是一群人。我们翻到罗马书十六章。
And verse 3.
第三节。
Here Paul is writing to the Romans and he's giving a list of greetings to some of his fellow workers.
他这里呢是向这个罗马教会的这个信徒们问安，他这里也提到他的一些同工。
He says, greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus, who risked their own necks for my life, to whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house.
三节到四到五节啊，问百基拉和亚居拉安，他们在基督耶稣里与我同工，也为我的命将自己的景象置于度外。不单我感谢他们，就是外邦的众教会也感谢他们，又问在他们家中的教会安。
So there's a little company of believers that were meeting in Priscilla and Aquila's house.
这说明在百居拉和亚居拉的家里呢，有一群信徒在聚会。
And another thing we might say is every Christian, born again Christian, should be a member of a local church.
换句话说呢，就是每一个重生得救的真基督徒呢，他都应该成为地方教会的一员。
They should seek out a local fellowship where they can become a member of that local expression of the universal church.
他们应该去寻找一个地方的肢体。然后在这个肢体当中作为议员，是作为这个普世教会的在当地的一个代表。
Now we're going to look at some of the functions and responsibilities of the local church.
我们接下来呢看地方教会的它的功能和它的责任。
And they are described in various ways through the scripture.
他们是在这个圣经里面呢用不同的方式来阐述的。
Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3.
我们先翻到哥林多前书的三章。
1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 9.
九节。哥林多前书三章九节。
For we are God's fellow workers, you are God's field.
因为我们是与神同工的，你们是神所耕种的田地。
Paul is comparing the Corinthian church to a garden plot, a field.
在这里呢，保罗是把哥林多教会呢比喻成一个耕种的田地。
And this gives an illustration of how the little assembly was started in the first place.
这给我们一个形象的阐明呢，就是一个地方教会是怎么最初开始的。
in verse 6, just before that, Paul had explained, he said, I planted. That is, he preached the gospel. Some believed.
在前面第六节里面, 他说, 我栽种了, 我栽种的意思就是我传了福音。
That is, so when he preached the gospel, some believed, but then they needed to be taught. And there was Apollos who watered that seed.
保罗传了福音以后呢,就有人相信了。相信的这些人呢,需要被教导,那就是后面讲的这个亚波罗浇灌了。亚波罗浇灌了就是用神的话教导他们。
But then it says in the last part of that verse, but God gave the increase.
但是在这一节的后半段呢,他说唯有神叫他生长。So
the local church is like a field in a sense, that in that sense. We're growing.
所以在这个意义上说呢,地方教会呢,就像一个田地一样的,我们在其中生长。Now
turn to that ninth verse in that same chapter again. And he changes the metaphor.
Which verse?
Verse
9. 第九节呢,后半段呢,他又改了另外一个比喻。
He says, not only are you God's field, but you are God's building.
他说你不单是神所耕种的田地呢,你还是神所建造的房屋。
And then he looks at himself as an apostle, as a builder.
他这里面呢,他作为这个使徒的身份呢,他把自己比喻成一个建筑工人。
And verse 10, according to the grace of God which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ.
第十节,我照神所给我的恩,好像一个聪明的工头,立好了根基,有别人在上面建造,只是个人要谨慎怎样在上面建造,因为那已经立好的根基就是耶稣基督,此外没有人能立别的根基。So
the assembly is pictured here as God's building.
所以这个地方教会呢,是把在这里比喻成一个神建造的房屋。
The foundation is the Lord Jesus Christ. On this rock I will build my church, he said, and that is the rock of Jesus Christ is the Son of God.
所以这个房屋的根基呢,就是耶稣基督,就像在马太福音里面主所启示的,他说我要把我的教会建立在这磐石上,这磐石呢,就是神启示给彼得的,就是耶稣基督是神的儿子,是 你是基督永生神的儿子这个启示这个事实。But
in verse 10, the last sentence of verse 10, he gives an exhortation about us who are building in the assembly, who are workers in the assembly. And he says, take heed how you build.
所以在十节的后半段呢, 他说,你们要小心怎样建造,这个呢,就是在教导我们这些,在教会里面服侍的工人们,你要怎么样建造这个教会。Everything
we build on that rock, the foundation of Jesus Christ, the Son of God.
我们所建造的一切呢,都要在这个立好的根基就是耶稣基督上面。
How are we to build? In love. Over and over and over again in the scriptures, we build in love.
我们怎么样建造呢? 是在爱里建造。 圣经一遍一遍反复地讲, 我们是在爱中建造。
And then what materials he talks about that we should use?
然后接下去他在讲, 我们用什么样的材料来建造, 我们要使用什么样的材料。
There's gold and silver and precious stones that are mentioned later on.
这里他提到这个用金银宝石。
Those are pictures of enduring materials, that is, spiritual materials.
这三个材料是代表这种可存到永远的材料,也就是属灵的材料。
We who attempt to build need to build on the scriptures and build spiritual, using spiritual materials.
所以我们的建造呢，要在神的话语的基础上，是在用属灵的材料来建造。
Because they, what we build there will survive the fire of exposure.
因为我们所有建造的东西呢，都要去经过火的试炼。
Okay, we must move on. I see our time is going quickly. Another picture or description of the local church is it's the house of God.
我们因为时间关系啊，我们得继续往下讲的。另外一个用来比喻地方教会呢，就是神的家。
1 Timothy 3:15.
提摩太前书三章十五节。
Here we read, Paul is completing a list of instructions to Timothy for the church.
这个呢是保罗写给提摩太告诉他如何管理神的教会的一封书信。
In verse 14, he says, These things I write to you, though I hope to come to you shortly. But if I am delayed, I write so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God,which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth.
十四节，我指望快到你那里去，所以先将这些事写给你。倘若我单言日久，你也可以知道在神的家中当怎样行。这家就是永生神的教会，真理的柱石和根基。
Now, if you come into someone's house, you want to behave according to the rules of that house.
如果你到一个人的家里去呢，你应该按照这个家里的规矩来行事。
The local assembly is God's house.
地方教会呢是神的家。
And there are roles and there are responsibilities that are laid out for that house.
神为这个家呢制定了规则，也赋予了责任。
In chapter 2,we have roles and responsibilities of men and women.
在二章里面，这里面讲到了在神的家中男人和女人不同的角色和责任。
In chapter 3, we have roles and responsibilities for leadership.
第三章呢，讲到在神的家里面呢，这个做领袖的、做领导的这些人的责任。
And so as servants of God, we want to be...obedient to the master of the house.
我们既然是神的仆人呢，我们就要对这神的家的主人呢，顺服他。
Okay, so that's God's field, it's God's building, the house of God. Another description of the assembly is that it's called the temple of God.
所以我们刚才讲了，圣经把地方教会比喻成神耕种的田地、神建造的房屋和神的家，还有一个比喻呢，就是神的殿。
That is in 1 Corinthians chapter 3:16. And for sake of time,
oh yeah, 哥林多前书三章十六节
，Verse 16. Do you not know that you are the temple of God?And that the Spirit of God dwells in you.
三章十六节啊，岂不知你们是神的殿，神的灵住在你们里头吗？
Now it's true the Spirit of God indwells us individually, and in chapter 6, he talks there about the indwelling of the Spirit in the believer.
当然，圣灵呢是一个一个的住在每一个信徒的里面的。这个是在哥林多前书六章里面讲到圣灵的内住，这肯定是对的。
And individually, our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit.
对我们作为我们个人来说呢，我们每个人的身体也是神的殿。
But here it's in the plural.
但这里面的这个是复数，神的殿是复数，是指一个整体。
He's saying, do you know, you Corinthians, that your assembly is the temple of the Holy Spirit?
因为他这里面用的这个 人称代词呢是复数，是你们，就是岂不知你们是神的殿吗？就作为教会整体，你们是神的殿。
When you come together, it's a holy, you're stepping into a holy place.
你们聚在一起呢，你是代表了一个圣洁的地方。
And in that temple, we also function as priests.
我们在这个神的殿里呢，我们的角色，我们的功能是什么呢？是做祭司的。
Every believer in the local assembly is a priest.
每一个在地方教会的信徒都是祭司。
First Peter chapter 2.
彼得前书二章。
First Peter chapter 2 and verse 5.
二章五节。
You also, as living stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ.
你们来到主面前，也就像活石被建造成为灵宫，做圣洁的祭司，借着耶稣基督，借着耶稣基督奉献神所悦纳的灵祭。
So that's the holy priesthood.
所以这里说是圣洁的祭司。
That has to do with our approach to God in worship.
我们是要靠近神的，是带着敬拜来靠近神的。
And we all have a responsibility as worshipers in the house of God.
我们在神的家里面的身上都有一个责任呢，就是做一个敬拜者。
That is the temple.Of the Holy Spirit.
这就是把地方教会比喻成神的殿的含义了。
But also, we are a royal priesthood, he says down in verse 9.
在第九节里面他又说，我们不仅是圣洁的祭司啊，还是君尊的祭司。
You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people.That you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light.
彼得前书的二章九节，唯有你们是被拣选的族类，是有君尊的祭司，是圣洁的国度，是属神的子民，要叫你们宣扬那招你们出黑暗入奇妙光明者的美德。
As holy priests, we go in, we can enter into the holy place not made with hands.And worship before the Father.
所以作为圣洁的祭司呢，我们也可以进到那个圣洁的所在，是不是人手所造的这个圣所，是来神的面前去敬拜他。
But as royal priests, we are to go out to the world to display the beauties, as he puts it here, proclaim the praises. We extol the Savior to all those that are outside.
所以圣洁的祭司呢是进到圣所里，到神的那里去。那君尊的祭司呢是走出去到世人那里去。就像这里面讲的，这节经文讲的是宣扬那招你们出黑暗入奇妙光明者的美德。我们要把主的神主的形象呢告诉别人，展现给别人。
So there's God's field, God's building, the house of God, the temple of God. Now we have come to another one.
所以我们前面提到了地方教会呢，是神所耕种的田地，是神所建造的房屋，是神的家，神的殿。现在还有另外一个。
The local church is pictured as a lampstand.
地方教会呢还被比喻成灯台。
The Lord Jesus said, I am the light of the world.
主耶稣说，我是这世界的光。
And now in heaven, glorified, he says, you are the light of the world.
他现在得了荣耀在天上，然后他说，你们现在是世界的光了。
The light speaks of testimony, of witness.
光呢，是代表见证。
In Revelation chapter 1, we have identified the churches in symbolic form as lampstands.
在启示录一章里面我们就看到这里把地方教会比喻成灯台。
In verse 20 of Revelation chapter 1.
启示录一章二十节。
He said, the mystery of the seven stars, which you saw in my right hand, and the seven golden lampstands. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands, which you saw, are the seven churches.
论到你所看见在我右手中的七星和七个金灯台的奥秘，那七星就是七个教会的使者，七灯台就是七个教会。
So, in chapters 2 and 3, the Lord Jesus is walking among the lampstands.
在接下去的二章和三章里面呢，主就在这七个灯台当中行走。
And his eye of searches out the quality of their witness.
所以他的眼睛呢，是在这个查询每一个教会的见证的质量。
He's judging those churches, those local churches.
他其实是在审判这些地方教会。
Because those seven churches, they were actually seven real churches that existed in Asia Minor back in the days of the Apostle John.
这提到的七个教会呢，是在使徒不是对使徒约翰在世的时候呢，小亚细亚当地呢真实存在的七个教会。
Now the question is.The responsibility of the local church is to bear witness of the Lord Jesus himself.
所以这里面呢就明确地告诉我们地方教会的责任呢就是为主耶稣基督做见证。
So that's another function and responsibility of the local church.
这是地方教会的另外一个功能和责任。
And the last one tonight is thatThe local church is looked at as a body.
今天晚上讲的最后一点呢，就地方教会呢是被看作一个身体。
It's not the whole body, but it's representative of the whole body of Christ.
当然地方教会不是全部就是耶稣基督的身体，因为那个是普世教会，而是代表。
And the little assembly,is going to represent the much larger universal church, even if there's only two or three.
地方教会呢，不管它人数多少，哪怕只有两三个人呢，它也是那个普世教会，那个最大的那个普世教会的代表。
Because life is in the body.
因为生命是在身体里面的。
And it's in the local assembly.Is the sphere of the functionings of all the gifts of the Spirit.
因为属灵恩赐的所有的功能呢都是在教会这个范畴里面发生作用的。
And we read that, of course, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12.
我们在哥林多前书的12章读到这样的教导。
1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verses 27 and 28.
哥林多前书十二章的二十七和二十八节。
Now you are the body of Christ. That is, he's speaking to the local church in Corinth here.
二十七节，你们就是基督的身子。这里面的你们呢，他指的就是他正在写信的对象，就是哥林多这个地方教会。
They're not the whole body, but they are a body.Of Christ.
他们不是基督那个整个的身体，因为那个是普世教会，但是呢，他们是基督的身子。
And he says, and members individually.
并且各自做肢体。
So it's within the body that the life of Christ is manifest through the Spirit.
所以在这个基督的身体里呢，就是基督的生命是借着借着圣灵显明出来了。
And it's where the gifts will function is in the body.
所以这个属灵 属灵恩赐的作用呢是在身子里面发挥作用的。
And what is the purpose of those gifts again?
这个属灵恩赐的这个目的是什么呢？
Ephesians chapter 4 verses 15 and 16.
以弗所书的四章十五十六节。
Ephesians 4 verse 15.
十五节。
But speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things unto him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, and here's the purpose,causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love.
以弗所书四章十五节十六节，唯用爱心说诚实话，凡事长进，连于元首基督，全身都靠他联络得合适，百节各安各职，照着个体的功用彼此相助。接下去这个就是目的了，目的就是便叫身体渐渐增长，在爱中建立自己。
Next week we're going to start looking at some of these gifts, the gifts of the Spirit. But here's another very important scripture, is that the sphere of the use of the gifts is in the assembly. Some teach that you can, there's gifts of Spirit that you use for your own personal benefit. That's not scriptural.
所以下周呢，我们会具体看这些一个一个的属灵恩赐，但是我们今天呢讲的这个根基很重要，就是属灵恩赐的这个使用的范畴啊是在教会里面的。所以你要如果听到一些教导说属灵恩赐呢是为了造就你自己，为你自己的益处呢，这个是不合圣经的教导的。
Remember, those gifts come from the head. They're gifts of the Spirit from the head.
所以我们要记得这属灵恩赐呢是从这元首从头来的。
And they're meant for the edification of the whole body.
它的目的呢是为了造就整个身体。
Well, next week, we're going to look at those gifts and some instructions for their use in the book of Romans, Corinthians, and Ephesians. I'm not sure which one we're going to start on first. But we will look next week, Lord willing. If the Lord doesn't come, then we will have no more use. If the Lord comes, we'll have no more use for those spiritual gifts because we will have the reality.
下周呢，我们会开始查考这些不同的属灵恩赐，以及关于怎样使用这些属灵恩赐的教导。这些教导呢是分布在哥林多前书、以弗所书和罗马书这些经节里面的。我们不确定从哪一卷开始书开始讲，但是呢，只要主还没有来，我们下周呢就继续学习。当然了，如果主来了的话呢，这一切都没有用了，因为那个真实的实体就来了，这些恩赐什么的都没有用了。
May the Lord bless each one of you in your local assembly. May you be a blessing to all those that you are united to as members of the body.
愿主祝福在座的每一个弟兄姐妹，也愿主祝福你在你所聚会、你所连接、你所怎么说所团契的这个实体里，这个神的这个地方教会里面，希望你成为那个教会的地方教会的祝福。
Let's pray.
我们一起祷告。
Father, we want to thank you for all your grace and goodness to us.
主啊，我们要感谢天父，我们要感谢你一切的恩典和良善，这些都是赐给我们的。
What a great plan you have for us.
你为我们订立了怎样的伟大的计划呀？
And it's all available to us by faith.
我们借着信心，这一切都是我们可以得着的。
By believing in the finished work of your Son, the Lord Jesus.
就是凭着信心相信主耶稣基督你的圣子所完成的工作。
Lord bless each soul here.
主啊，愿你祝福在这里的每一个灵魂。
And Lord, may we be encouraged to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus.
愿我们每个人都被您鼓励，在耶稣基督的知识和恩典上长进。
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you again.
再次的。